Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Wizards guard Bub Carrington, 6:30 here on your home for Wizards basketball. But in the first hour of the show, we're also your home for more NFL draft coverage than anybody else. I dare anybody else, Anthony, to do it better than we do it. Who else? What other shows are doing full mock drafts?
Not that many.
Nobody. That's who. They're doing our teammates and colleagues here at the Team 980 do excellent work, and they did plenty of other cool stuff on their shows today. But then the punchline doesn't work as well. Nobody! And we did a mock draft earlier in hour one. If you missed it, you can listen back to the full thing in the podcast feed or on YouTube. Working on getting a full commercial-free version of that on my YouTube page as well, at the Team 980, or on at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman. But Anthony, we'll get to the Commanders pick. I wound up making the pick for us because I had the odd picks, and we wound up going Emeka Egbuka, who is the wide receiver out of Ohio State, with the 29th pick. But what surprised you leading up to that? Like, what did you learn by doing this exercise? Because I think that's something that I always enjoyed, especially last year when we were doing this, when Logan and I were doing this for Take Command, and when we've done it this year, is how much variance you get, and kind of when you really dive in, you see these kind of pivot points in the draft, and there's definitely a couple, I feel like, in this one.
I mean, yeah, so I didn't expect this many edge and offensive linemen to go, but at the same token, like, we rave about how deep this class is in terms of players in the trenches, so I guess it sort of kind of does make sense. And then when we look at, you know, positions of need for us kind of thing, the edge position. So the fact that we've already ran through 6-7 guys before we get to Washington, it's just like, where do we go now? And the thing is, like, we talked about who our guys would be yesterday, and neither one of our guys fell. So that's sort of kind of what you got to worry about when it comes to draft day, just because those guys that you might have like circled on your board might not necessarily be there. So now you got to pivot, and that's what we saw you do. You pivoted.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting thing for me is we actually had a really great question come in that's in my like current folder of future mailbag questions. We're gonna have one more pre-draft mailbag with Logan, and we'll do a one next week with John Kime as well when Logan's on vacation. But it was basically like, what's the worst case scenario for the Commanders? Like, and it's funny because when I've looked at a lot of the media mock drafts, I've always been not only pretty happy with who these guys are selecting for Washington, but also typically the players that go like 30, 31, 32, where I'm like, oh, if Malachi Starks is available or Nick Emmanuori is available, I'm jumping up and down excited. But the way we did this, this was not purposeful. We just lined up and picked. Mm-hmm. The way this went down in some ways is, I don't want to say the worst case scenario, because I do think if Let me pick someone out here. Let's say the Broncos take Igbuka. And I mean, I guess at that point, you are Marion Hampton still available and you can take Marion Hampton. But let's say the Bengals take someone else. The Bengals take Marion Hampton. And the Broncos take Emeka Igbuka. And then, so the player we've now eliminated here is Gray Zabel. The multiple position, can play all five offensive linemen from North Dakota State. That is a rare scenario where I'm not super psyched about anybody. At that point, I think my pick probably would have been Nick Scorton, the defensive end out of Texas A&M, who's the second defensive end, Shamar Stewart's teammate. I think you could definitely say at that point, the other option I would have had is just take Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon, who some people, like Dane's got him as his 16th player overall.
Well, why not go Gray Zabel? We still have a need at guard.
I mean, you could if you think Zabel's the guy, but like I'm happier getting Igbuka than I am Zabel.
Okay.
I would rather Malachi Starks. I would rather Omarion Hampton. I would rather Colson Loveland if he fell. Like Zabel's a wonderful fallback. I'm not going to be like ecstatic. And it's not just because he's a guard, most likely. Maybe he's a starter at guard for you this year and he plays 3-4 years at guard and he's Tyler Biadasz's long-term replacement at center in 4 years. I'm not trying to kick Biadasz out the door. Maybe he winds up being a tackle. Maybe Coleman kicks inside and Zabel actually winds up being right tackle. Like, you can do a lot worse than Gray Zabel. And on that front, like, fine. If you want to pick someone, if you want to say the Josh Simmons injury stuff knocks him out and now we're putting Zabel there or bumping someone else up and Igbuka is not available. I guess I just wound up, you know, as this goes down, there's a couple of places in the draft where, you know, could other teams have gone receiver potentially or whatever. Or just a couple of decisions that I was like, man, that was harder than I wanted it to be. You know, what happens if, for instance, Armon Membu doesn't go 7 to the Jets and it's Will Johnson instead who falls to the 49ers. I don't know how much that actually pushes anybody down because I feel like those guys just flip places. I would have taken Membu for the 49ers at 11.
And I mean, if Omarion Hampton goes, the Broncos could possibly take a receiver too, though.
Right. And so in a lot of ways, this mock was a little scary. Then again, it's worth pointing out, we didn't put Jackson Dart here. I could have easily for the Rams at 26, you took Trey Amos for the Rams, the corner out of Ole Miss. You could have easily done Jackson Dart, but I don't know that Trey Amos is a guy that I want necessarily at 29. Mm. Maybe, but I don't feel great about that. So that, like, this in some ways is almost a worst case scenario. That's, again, if they don't like James Pierce, if they like Pierce, which I don't think they will, then great. If they don't love Nick Scorton or one of these other edge guys or, you know, maybe one of the receivers, maybe they, you know, Luther Burden is a guy that I'm sure someone's screaming about somewhere, but I think character-wise there's some real red flags with him. But if he checks out with them and they're like, no, actually all this stuff is just a competitor who doesn't know how to control it and we think we can get better out of him, and or maybe, there was something going on in his personal life that had him unsettled and that's done and better now. And we think he'll mature just fine. And he's going to be a weapon for us. And maybe they like Luther Burden. I wouldn't do that player wise anyway, because he's a Debo, you know, he's a worse version of Debo Samuel, but maybe there's someone they like. But I think from what I have read, what I have watched, what I have studied in a lot of ways, This is one where the guys that I am like pumped if they fall. Ezeraku, who you took one pick before in Detroit, who they could very well take Igbuka, by the way. If it's not Ezeraku, if it's not Mykel Williams, if it's not Omarion Hampton, who's, you know, seen as somebody as a premier back. If it's not Colson Loveland, if it's not Nick Emmanuel or Malachi Starks, especially Starks, like Shamar Stewart, like this is one where finally all the pieces, Mike Green, depending on what's going on with his character stuff. Finally, this is a mock draft that I've seen where one of those guys doesn't fall. And the fact that you still wind up with Igbuka And most of the corners available, I think, still speaks to why being in this range in this draft is not a bad thing. And also, I think it's worth pointing out, maybe some, if Jackson Dart's still available, maybe someone's ring, ring, calling up for Jackson Dart out of the end of the second round. Maybe the Saints are coming up for him from 40, and you can trade back, and now all of a sudden the Savon Ravels and all those types of guys that we didn't get to are options for you at I think it's 40 where the Saints pick.
Yeah. One person that I was surprised dropped and fell as far as he did was Jahdae Barron. If he falls, I don't think he'll fall past the Rams. I think the Rams will be very interested in him. But if he was to fall, how excited would you be about Barron?
He's interesting. He's, if I'm remembering, I've got my prospects straight. Where's
he's drawing like parallels to Brian Branch. To be honest, I was thinking,
I think let's talk about him more next. We're up against the clock here. We're already probably behind the clock because that's just how we've been rolling today. These Masters updates are great, getting you make sure you know everything, but they do take a little bit of time. So we'll talk about Jahdae Barron and where he, why, like, I have the hesitation, even though I like him a lot as a player, next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Earlier in the show, we did our first mock draft, mock draft 1.0. Mock draft 2.0 will be in the 4 o'clock hour next Thursday, and then real mock draft, no mock, actual draft, will be the Thursday after, right here on the Team 980. You can listen to full coverage. We'll be going live till 8 o'clock that night, and then we'll give way to our draft coverage here on the station. We're just talking about Jahdae Barron, the defensive back out of Texas, who fell a bit in our draft. He wound up all the way down with the Packers at 23. This is a guy that played mostly outside in 2024, but played 30% of his snaps at other positions, so inside in the nickel, some safety, played some dime linebacker, played some again some nickel inside corner, kind of box player, however you want to classify that. My thing with him, Anthony, there's kind of two, I don't call them red flags, but two things that make me think I would, if he somehow fell all the way to 29, which we didn't get to in this draft. And this is a guy that I think we both agree could go as high as 7.
Yeah.
With the Jets. Like, this could be a piece that Aaron Glenn loves in the same way that he used like Brian Branch. He's a little undersized. Like, Branch is a big dude. Like, that was, you know, he was almost like, I don't say too big, but like, he was a big freaking dude that we knew could play a ton in the box and didn't have the speed. Barron is a 4.39 guy. Now, Dane Brugler in his report in The Beast in The Athletic says, you know, hey, his stopwatch speed doesn't always show. But the other thing is while he is a competitive tackler, he sometimes has misses against better opponents. Mm. That kind of thing would make me go, I don't know if that's what they want.
Yeah.
Do they feel like they can? We had this conversation with Shamar Stewart. Tackling numbers aren't great. Can better coaching clean that up? But if you're specifically Washington, I don't know how much they're going to be looking at nickels, because unless they think Mike Sainristil is 100% a long-term outside corner, I probably would rather kick Mikey back inside. And I just don't know if you have Jahdae Barron and Mike Sainristil. Like, trust me, you can do a lot worse than two really smart, really fast, really athletic, ball-hawking football players. Barron led the SEC in interceptions last year. But do I want another undersized, he's 5'10.5", 195 pounds, 198 at his pro day. Mm-hmm. How many sub 200 pound corners do you want?
Yeah.
That would be my thing for Washington. Although I think if he's somehow available at 29, he's probably going to be the best player on the board. You just say, I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I was about to say, if he gets to 29, he's probably just the best available at that point. But nah, it was intriguing. Only thing that I was just surprised that he fell as far as he did, because he has the capabilities of possibly being the best defensive, you know, back anyway in the draft, kind of thing.
Who to you on our selections here was the most surprised? The guy that like went farthest from what you'll think he'll go on draft night?
I mean, to be honest, outside of him, the most surprising to me was Emeka Ebuka. I'm not gonna lie, Craig.
You were surprised what I did with the Commanders at 29.
I was very surprised.
That he was there?
No.
Or that I took him there?
That you took him there.
What, I don't say, I don't know how much you've studied him, but what don't you like about Emeka Egbuka?
I mean, short-handed receiver for sure. I just think he plays more in the slot. We have Deebo Samuel who will probably also line up in the slot. Like, I don't know. We have two slot receivers now.
See, I don't know that he's a slot guy. Like, I mean, he definitely can be.
He lined up a lot in the slot.
I know what I'm saying. He did line up there. I don't know that. Here's what I'd say. I don't know he has to be a slot guy.
Okay. All right, that's
like,
fair.
He's not flashy at all, but he did run a 4.48.
Yeah.
In his his pro day. He had a 1.50 10-yard split. Neither of those numbers are like the best, but those are pretty good. His vertical's 38. That's not the best. That's pretty good. And so you're talking about a very solid athlete, and he has really good ball tracking skills. He's just sure-handed. He knows how to get open. And I think opposite a guy like Terry and to compliment a guy like Deebo, he's a great fit. Because the other thing I think with Egbuka is he can play inside. Like, Debo's going to be a line where they need him to be based off of what they're doing with him. Sometimes that's outside. Sometimes that's inside. Having a player like Egbuka who can do the same thing and could line up at any spot because he's a good route runner who just seems to have an innate understanding of offense, I think is a great fit because you can switch your personnel without switching your people. You can be like, oh, this time Debo's in the slot. Now Egbuka's outside. Now we're going to switch him. Like, I actually really like the fit. And he's a guy that I've actually spent more time with him than I have a lot of prospects in this draft because I've actually watched the wide receivers at a deeper level. Like, last year I spent a ton of time on quarterbacks, obviously. I watched more film last year than I've ever watched before and possibly will ever watch again. I've spent some time with a couple of the edge guys this year. I've spent some time with a couple of the receivers. And Egbuka is one of those guys. And on top of all the reading I do, and the more I watch him, the more I like him. Like, he's one of these guys that you're just like, okay. It's again? Wow, okay. And nothing's ever flashy. He just is always open doing the right thing and reliably catching the football.
Okay, two questions then. One, who takes the top off the defense? And two, what do we do with Luke McCaffrey?
One, Terry. And maybe you get someone a little bit later as well.
Okay.
And two, Luke fits in where he gets in. He's a rotational piece with Deebo and Egbuka in the slot. And, you know, we'll see what, fight it out. May the best man win between those guys and Noah Brown and whatever. But, like, if you think Egbuka can be a really solid player for you and a reliable target for years to come, then you take him. And yeah, if he's the best player on your board, you take him. Again, I'm not like, hell yeah, we got Emeka Egbuka, but I am like, nice, we got Emeka Egbuka. So that's my enthusiasm meter.
As long as he can go out there, beat man coverage consistently, I'm all for it then. Because I feel like with Deebo, he's gonna struggle a little bit.
And that's not his specialty.
Yeah. And then we're gonna need somebody opposite of Terry. So if Abuka's that guy, I'm all for it.
I think he can be.
Because you talk about Luther Burden, about, like, still been out there as well.
Burden's not on my board.
Okay.
Where this guy's like team captain.
Yeah.
He's used to playing, by the way. I think I just read in his report with Dane. He played next to four receivers who ultimately became top 20 picks.
Yeah.
Like, this dude's used to being a complimentary part of the offense. And if he can be a star in that role, that is very, very helpful. A guy who's been fantastic in his role this year, young guy. Guy that's 3 years younger than most of these guys getting drafted still, or a ton of these guys getting drafted, is Bub Carrington, the Wizards point guard. We caught up with him earlier today before they got on their plane to Chicago. We'll share that conversation with Bub next here on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Of course, your home for Wizards basketball on the radio. And joining us now, off of winning a very cool award for not just what he's done on the court, but specifically for what he's done off of it, is Wizards guard Bub Carrington, the 2025 winner of the Dr. E.B. Henderson Team Award. Bub, congrats, man. You're obviously a local-ish guy. We don't need to have the whole I don't think it's up to us to litigate whether Baltimore or how far up the DMV goes, but certainly this is a community that's meant a lot to you. And what's it meant in your rookie year to be able to be so involved and, you know, and ultimately win this award?
It means a lot to do that, especially, you know, being where I'm from and playing for the team that I'm playing for, like just being able to show that, like, you know, like it means something to me to be here and to play for this team. And I want to show it by giving back to the people that, you know, might not have it as easy as others. So it means a lot, obviously, to win that award, especially, you know, playing for the Wizards.
I think that if someone looked at you and was like, you know, you're 19, 20 years old this year, going through your first NBA season, if you just focused 100% on the floor, like, nobody would have been like, ah, what's this kid doing in the community? Like, but why did you want to start this part of your career? Something that I'm sure long-term you want to continue to grow, but like, why was it important to start it for you as soon as you got to the league?
Because, honestly, like, that's just who I am. Like, regardless if I was, you know, in the league or not, like, I would be doing these things. And just the fact that I am in the league and the fact that I am as fortunate as I am to, you know, have the resources that I have or the resources that I'm available to, that just means all the more that I have to do it.
Bub Carrington, or go ahead. Sorry, Bub. My bad.
No, that's it right there.
Bub Carrington with us here on The Hoffman Show. Do you have a favorite thing last off the court? Then definitely want to talk about your season and how much you've grown on the floor and all that kind of stuff this season. But last off the floor thing, like, do you have a favorite memory from one of these events that you did or a particular project that you helped out with or led that meant the most to you?
That's a difficult question. I have a lot of fun at the events that we have, but off the top of my head, I would say at the book bag drive that I did at Premier Basketball down in South Baltimore, I was like also like working out in front of the kids, like just getting like some shots up and having the kids like help me do the workout. You know, like one of the kids had threw me a lob and like I dunked it and they went crazy. So that was a pretty cool moment.
That is fun. That is fun. I'm sure that's something that those kids will remember too. This is your rookie year coming to an end here this weekend down in Miami. You got the Chicago trip, obviously, first. But as you reflect on this year on the floor and what you thought it would be going in and now what it's been here as we wrap it up, like, how would you describe your rookie season in the NBA for you personally before we get to anything related to the team?
I would describe it as, honestly, I would describe it as just like fortunate. Like, I'm a rookie in the league that, you know, can say that he played, you know, in every single basketball game in the NBA. I never had the experience. I mean, not that it's a bad thing or anything, obviously, but I never experienced, you know, the G League or anything. I like I said, I played every game. I was fortunate enough to battle through injuries, but I was able to ultimately play and get shots up, get assists, turnovers, like everything, like get to just experience basketball. And I think that, you know, everyone is good in the league. So, you know, everyone can pretty much do anything. It's just, do you have the experience and the confidence to execute it? And having the season that I've had, I personally would say I'm one step closer, you know, than, you know, so others might not be to having that ultimate experience and confidence to be one of the better point guards in this league.
One of the things I always like to ask rookies at kind of at the end of their first year, maybe in an exit interview situation, is like, what's the thing that you learned that you can't wait to work on in the offseason? Because you just didn't know coming into the league. There's something you discovered about NBA basketball or NFL football or whoever I'm talking to. But I'm actually curious, Bub, if that question applies to you because of the way the Wizards are running their organization, because of how much of an emphasis from Michael and Will on down to BK is on the development in the season. Do you feel like, you know, there's some stuff that you've had to wait on to work on that you'll focus on this offseason? Or has it been kind of an ongoing development process in a way that maybe if you talk to other rookies in the league, they're not quite having the same experience?
I mean, all right, which you want me to hit on first?
Let's go with your experience in terms of like the ability to grow within the season and maybe having a little bit longer leash and a development focus versus, you know, as you talk about like worrying about minutes or being sent down to the G League if you make a mistake because you're so busy in like the middle of a playoff hunt or something like that.
I mean, yeah, like I was mentioning earlier, like that's just it's putting you over the edge, like it's giving you one step closer to, you know, being that high volume guy or that, you know, that better guy in the league. Because like I said, like just being able to play through mistakes, to play with, you know, to play like you have nothing to lose is, you know, that's freeing and it gives you that confidence. And like I said, it gives you that experience, that vision that you ultimately you're going to have to see over and over again. But the more you see it, the better you get at it.
So is there something that still for you is more of an off-season project that you're really excited to work on a certain part of your game that you haven't been able to because you have been in the middle of a season, or is that just not applicable for you?
I wouldn't say anything, you know, like dramatic, like, you know, just working on a shot or two that I think that I would start seeing a lot in the league that I would start working, like putting emphasis on working on. But, you know, other than that, I could give you a defensive tip that I actually want to work on in the offseason is, like, fighting over screens.
Mm.
You know, it's hard. It's kind of to necessarily do it technically and work on it, you know, in live action because the guys are just so good and you're trying to do something new and they're just, you know, they're just going to fry you.
Yeah.
But so it's something I definitely want to touch on in the offseason.
That's really cool. I think that's a great answer, too, for fans to hear because that's the kind of, like, I think everyone understands going to the gym and working on shots and things like that. But, you know, like, how do you work on defense is something that I think the average fan might not really, you know, understand that there's such a technical side to it. So I actually love that answer. Wrapping up here with Bub Carrington, of course, Wizards rookie guard. You know, this season has been, it's been interesting to talk to folks around the team, your teammates, coaches, executives, et cetera, that we've had on the show or I've been able to talk with when I've been at Capital One, Bub, because like despite the record, everyone seems to be having a good time. And it's not that everyone's like, oh, losing doesn't matter. It's just they realize this is a long-term project. As someone who's in on that long-term project and who's a big part of the success of that, how have you processed going through what I'm sure has been in some ways the weirdest year you've ever had as a basketball player? Because I'm sure you've been a winner your whole life. But also, like you talk about all this growth and how freeing it's been to play this way. So how have you, as we come to the end of this, squared all that?
It's honestly been like eye opening, honest in a way. Like I had to honestly dig within myself because in the beginning of the season, it wasn't easy. Like it wasn't. Guys weren't really happy. It wasn't really a fun time. But you know, you had to ultimately. Like look within yourself and know that like we're building something bigger here and the organization really put big emphasis on that as well. So they helped us get through it, you know, and like I said, I had to really dig within myself and I think it made me a better basketball player and honestly a better person in a way. And then that kind of the numbers are showing.
No doubt. The improvement's been a lot of fun to watch. You guys have become a really fun team here late in the year, especially. Bub, appreciate the time today. Congrats again on the award and all the good work that you've done that earned you that award. And we look forward to talking to you probably at this point at the start of next season.
All right. Thank you.
Wrapping up here on the Team 980. Yeah, this show actually goes till 7 every once in a while. I feel like it's been a minute, Anthony.
It's definitely been a while. The last time we had a show this late was definitely like early March, maybe even late February.
Yeah, it's been a hot second. but here we are going all the way till 7. Same thing tomorrow on a Friday. Clinton Yates should join us because it's a Friday, although you never know with that guy. Wild card Clinton Yates. No, I think Clinton's going to join us tomorrow. I'll say that confidently and then he won't be here. That's typically how that goes. What else we got tomorrow, Anthony?
Weekend preview.
Weekend preview, which is brought to you by
nobody.
Yep.
We have more Masters updates.
Okay. Do we have one coming up now or no?
That's a great question. And we do.
Oh, okay. So we don't have much time left in the show at all.
No.
Okay. All righty then. We'll figure out tomorrow, but we're going to wrap up today. We're going to do some real things, real people said in real microphones. First of all, we have a Real Things Hall of Fame nominee that we're going to push till tomorrow because we don't have time for it today. We're going to spend today's Real Things talking about the Mavs-Lakers game last night and some of the audio from that. But I just, real quick, Anthony, in the 2 minutes that we have left in the show, I believe we have two minutes, 30 seconds exactly. Yeah. What a weird night in Dallas that was, buddy. The whole crowd rooting for the away team, but specifically the one player that is murdering the home team because he's their former favorite player who got traded for no bleeping reason because the GM and the owner are apparently not very smart. And I will give Nico credit. He was in the building. He did show up only to hear, fire Nico.
Yep.
The entire night as Luka went for 45 and the Lakers won.
Yeah, Luka had 31 in the first half. I didn't expect him to come out that hot. I was like, good gracious, he was scorching. And then also, you know, his teammates like fed into it as well. Like LeBron wasn't as aggressive. Definitely wanted Luka to, you know, get his get back, and rightfully so, he did just that. And I was really happy to see Nico there. Like
I was.
You made the decision, stand behind it.
Yeah. Stand and watch as the guy that you traded, that's one of the best five players in the world, torches your team. And the signature him way, just he makes it, he gets so many easy, air quotes, layups because he's so good at manipulating space and he's so wide bodied, compliment, good, that he just like, it's hard to block his shot. So he like gets you on the hip. Let's say he's driving left, he gets you on his right hip, and it's literally just so damn far to reach across his body. And he's so tall and long as well as wide that he just balls on the glass. Done. You can't get to his shot. That's before you get to the step backs and everything that he's got in his bag. By the way, your guy, LeBron, went bananas in the fourth quarter as Luka was on the bench.
Yeah.
To really close that one out. And then Luka came in and scored like 7 points in the final 3 minutes to go from 38 to 45. And that was pretty much the ball game. The video tribute was well done. It also underscored the absolute lunacy of the situation. Here's this guy that's amazing that you just decided to trade in the middle of his prime. Luka, you know, tearing up during it. It's just, in so many ways, it's sad. But at least the person who probably came out of it feeling the worst, I would hope, is Nico Harrison. Because, boy, does he deserve to. All right, that's our show for today. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.